Hello and welcome to episode 62 of the Blue Cup Tools podcast. I am Francisco Gonzalez, also known as Grunislav, and with me as always...
Hello, Francisco Gonzalez. I am Ben Chandler, also known as Ben304, and with us we have a very special guest.
We do.
Can he hear me?
He can hear you, sort of, because your voice is coming out of my headphones. But yes, we have a very special guest live in studio today, and by that I mean my studio apartment. We have none other than Drew Wellman, also known as DDQ5.
Hello.
Don't sound so enthusiastic to be on our podcast.
I'm worried about
fine, I'll do this, guys. Jeez.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're being technical.
Man, listen up. Listen up, DDQ. Icy Games would sell his kidney to get on.
That's true, he really would. And Posh would sell his kidney to get Icy Games on this podcast.
So. I'm pretty sure, dude, I had a kidney arrive in the mail the other day. Oh. I think it was Ponch's.
That would not surprise me. Anyway, how are you, Chandler? It's been a couple of weeks. We've been on a little mini hiatus. What have you been up to?
You've been gallivanting
across
the globe.
I have been.
I've been working and playing. I played some video games while you were away.
I see.
And while I finished Child of Light. Did I talk about that on the podcast?
I believe you did. Yes. Oh wait. Now that you said that, I want to start off this podcast by saying a few words. I would like to say...
Well, make up your mind.
No,
please,
I don't.
Because I'm lost now.
No, I just want to start off this podcast by saying Shardlight. Shardlight, Shardlight, Shardlight.
That's one word.
I don't have to bleep it anymore, and I'm happy.
Well, you were the only person that ever cared.
I know.
But rest of us were like, oh, let him know the name. Who gives a shit? But anyway.
Anyway,
I'm glad that your self-imposed torment has come to an end.
Well, if anyone knows about self-imposed torment... It's me. I mean, I do this podcast all the time, right?
Letting me stay here.
Oh, well.
That's pretty tormentous.
I guess.
Yeah.
No, whatever.
But, so I finished Child of Light. Let me go back to the thing that you asked me about, and then rudely just totally sidetrack me.
I like to keep you on your toes.
Fine. I'm able to keep up. But yeah, so I finished Child of Light, and I liked it, and, it wasn't, like, a perfect game, but I still really enjoyed it, and it was really pretty and interesting to play, and the final boss was about right, I think. And I played through Killzone Mercenaries, which was pretty good. Or Killzone Mercenary, I don't know. There's more than one Mercenary, but it's called Mercenary, not Mercenaries, which is really confusing to me. But my brain is, you know, I have trouble with words at the best of time, as listeners of this podcast will know. And I've been playing a little bit of Dragon Age Origins, because, like, now that I've finished my other RPGs, trying to get back into it. But somebody bought me a copy of Baldur's Gate 2 Enhanced Edition the other day, so that's not good.
Hadn't you been playing that for a while?
No, I played through Baldur's Gate 1 Enhanced Edition and Icewind Dale number 2. And I was like, well, I'm not going to buy it, because, you know, and then somebody gifted it to me when it was on sale in the GOG sale, and now I have it, and that's bad.
I see.
Because I like that game, and I want to play it a lot. But,
I've been
playing Dragon Age and enjoying it, but also still, like, this is nothing compared to Baldur's Gate for me.
Or shall we call it Dragon Mage Origins?
Let's call it that.
Yeah, how far along are you in it, Drew asked?
I don't know. I did the Origin. The first Origin I did, was some boring one, but this time I did, like, the whole thing where you're, like, an arranged marriage and, like, you just go psycho on your wedding day and, like, you cut people down in a sword in your wedding dress, and it was fucking amazing.
What kind of game is this?
It's a BioWare game.
Sounds like a game I might be interested in.
Yeah, man, it was, like, the first origin story I did was some boring shit about, like, we're in ruins and it's, wow, lore and shit like that. And this one, it was
lore!
Cutting the shit out of, like, fucking annoying and rapist racists, and yeah, it was awesome. I loved it. I was like, I'll cut you down and piss on you in my wedding dress. But then,
this is certainly exposing a new side of you we haven't seen before.
Oh, you know what I'm like. Don't.
Yeah, this isn't all that surprising.
Like, yeah, you're right. I know. I'm just being dramatic. Anyway.
Okay. Good. But anyway, so now it's sort of transcended that into like the standard save the world thing, and I'm like, I'm less invested in it because I'm just like, well, I kind of wish that the whole story, that the wedding story, was like the whole story, because I would just cut people down and like kick their nuts in for like 30 hours quite happily. But anyway, so now I'm just about done with one of. I don't even know how to tell you, Drew, like how far away through it is. But I've played a fair way, and well, I haven't done anything.
Do you have
just
the puppy
like been
yet?
Walking around randomly, just like basically telling everybody off for asking me to help them. I'm just like, no, help yourself, you peasants.
Cool.
Do you?
So
I don't think he heard you.
Oh yeah, do you have the puppy yet?
Yes, I have a puppy. The puppy is like the cutest thing, and it's really cute to see how like the characters like interact with the thingy. Yeah,
like that statue man.
So
haven't played this game in years.
Yeah, that's a highlight. That any role playing game with a doggy in it, whether it's Fallout or Arcanum or whatever, I'm sold. So you know,
yeah, good.
Yeah. Anyway, Francisco, have you been playing any video games, or are you like too busy being cool and cosmopolitan and shit?
I've been sick as well. What else?
You are sick.
I am sick. I'm sick of you.
I'm sick of you.
No, I'm just allergic to cats. That's all.
That must be very hard living with yourself all the time, you goddamn cat.
That's not what I meant. Anyway, no, I really haven't played any video games. I watched a bunch of...
What are you doing on this podcast?
Well, I watched Listen, I watched a whole bunch of cutscenes from Sonic 2006. Drew showed me the...
Why?
Because I'm a masochist, apparently.
Yeah, like, before we went before we left for London for Adventure X, we just decided to watch pretty much the entirety of the Sonic playthrough of...
Yeah,
that game. And,
That's how we spent the entire day before we had to leave for our flights in the afternoon, just sitting here in my apartment watching cutscenes from Sonic.
Ill the entire time on the airplane?
No. I was feeling a little bit under the weather from before when I had gone home for Thanksgiving, but for some reason, I don't know if it was the airplane or just the cold, the constant cold in London, but my sore throat came back and then I started coughing. So this was only a recent development. But anyway,
you know, people bag on like the modern Sonic games a lot, and I've played some shitty modern Sonic games, but Sonic Rush on DS was amazing, so I'll say that.
Well, yeah, this was Sonic 2006, which was terrible, and it was so bad. It's so bad. But then
I also liked Sonic Advance for the Game Boy Advance, but that was nowhere near as good as Sonic.
That's
Rush.
One that I actually had and did like.
Yeah, that was actually really pretty good. And you know what? I finished it with all of the characters, even though Amy Rose is really annoying.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't beat it with, what's the rabbit's name? Cream?
How many animals are there in
There's
the Sonic world?
Oh, man, dude, you have no idea how many Sonic things there are.
Clearly I don't, because I was watching these cutscenes thinking, what the hell? Who are all these people?
Who
Why is there a bat?
Yeah.
Who are all these animals? And then they just show up and they're here I am, no good.
Oh yeah, that reminds me. I also showed him that Sonic Saturday morning cartoon, or not the Saturday morning,
oh,
the other
my.
One. That one little PSA about child touching.
Yeah.
About how it's no good.
That's like, I think we need to move on.
Yeah, let's...
Why? Sonic telling you...
Because I don't want to...
Sonic telling you about inappropriate touching is good. You don't want to think about what, Sonic or inappropriate touching, or both?
Both.
I see.
Anyway, especially not together.
I really don't want to think about child molesting at all. It's not a subject that I enjoy.
No, it's not. Anyway, Drew, have you played any video games?
Yes, I have been playing, for the very first time, The Elder Scrolls Morrowind.
Oh,
yes.
Cool choice. That's a very cool choice.
I'm a bit behind on the times. It came out quite a number
behind.
Of years ago, I imagine.
Well, I'm still waiting to play a game from 1996 called Strife.
Oh man, listen up, listeners of the podcast. You know I rant about DOS games, but Strife is now on Steam thanks to Night Dive Studios. Anyway, carry on, Drew.
Right.
Sorry,
so I've been doing an interesting thing with Morrowind. Ben, do you know other Drew?
Yes, Undia.
Yes.
Yes, him.
Yeah.
He is, shall we say, a little bit obsessed with Morrowind. He's clocking...
Oh, I know all about his obsession with Morrowind. I know.
Like 1,000 hours, something like that. So what
yeah,
I did...
he's insane.
What I did was I had him guiding me through via Skype. I was streaming the game
oh,
for
wow.
him. And he was my little guide in the world of Vordenfell.
Okay. That's cool. For me, the coolest thing about Morrowind and the other Elder Scrolls games that I've played is, like, not so much the main story, but just, like, going around and, like, exploring these bizarre worlds. And Morrowind's got some amazingly bizarre, like, just random encounter stuff that just happens, which is amazing.
Yes. So. One of the first things that happened was a naked man approaching me to tell me to go kill a witch, and it turned out that he was actually behaving a little bit inappropriately with this nice lady, and she took his clothes and hammer. So I got to murder him.
Was he actually naked, or was he wearing like a little?
He had a loincloth.
Yeah, then he wasn't really naked.
Well, I didn't have that mod installed.
Oh, I see.
I was going with the vanilla experience.
Oh man, if you play Daggerfall and like you can unclothe your character, like you like changing armor. It's like, oh, I see. So there's that.
Mm. I do love that you can wear separate like. Shoes, or not shoes, but like separate gloves or something. Like you can have mismatched pauldrons or something.
Nice.
It's very very stylish.
Are there dangly physics in that one you mentioned before?
What, Daggerfall?
Yeah,
dude, it was a DOS game. This
yeah, it's 2.5D.
Oh well, never mind. Well, were there dangly physics animations?
No,
that's too bad. Anyway, let's talk about this podcast now that we've discussed what we've...
Now played. That we've discussed cocks.
No, we haven't.
The lack of cocks, really.
Yeah, it really is. The lack thereof. let's talk about what happened this weekend, which is a little expo/convention known as Adventure X, which is held in London every year around December.
London.
This is the fourth year that that it was held, and it was my first year attending. It was Drew's second year.
Mm-hmm. And Matt's fourth year. He's been there every single
year. Yeah, and Matt Frith's fourth year. He's very dedicated. But then again, he lives like on the outskirts of London.
It'd be pretty
so
sad
we stayed with him.
So.
Yeah, we stayed with him. It was a fun adventure. X. Anyway, so I wanted to talk... Yeah, you fuck up. I wanted to talk a little bit about the experience, and Drew here will supplement my my tales and provide some of his own because, you know, it was a nice event. It was a 2-day event. We arrived on the Friday morning and kind of got our bearings and found people. It was nice because there was a lot of people that went that I hadn't seen in a long time, like Matt Goble, who I hadn't seen in 7 years. And,
that's a long time. Dude.
Yeah, it is a long time. Mm-hmm. But he hadn't changed a bit. He was exactly the same. And except I think he got married or something. But
small like that.
But
tiny.
Yeah, no. But it was good. It was good catching up with people I hadn't seen in a while and meeting new people and like hanging out with other adventure game developers. And amusingly enough, while we were there, the Saturday night that we were,
Did you have a goal?
Did I have a goal?
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, did you have a reason for going there other than, like, just mingling and promoting and stuff, or were you just happy to just...
Oh, no, I was happy to just go and mingle and promote, and I also wanted to reveal Shardlight. So, yes, for those of you... for those of you who weren't paying attention or have missed out on my tweets for whatever reason, because you blocked me.
Nobody follows you on Twitter.
I know, no one does. I know. But anyway, we revealed the actual title of the formerly known as the Scottish game, and yes, it's Shardlight, and it's a game that you and I are doing, and there it is. Go check it out if you want, somewhere.
Yeah. You've tweeted screenshots, I've tweeted screenshots, and there's a AGS board if you want to look at it.
Yeah,
so
there's plenty
you can pretty much go anywhere.
Yeah, there's pretty much all information you need online. But anyway, yeah, I wanted to do that, and I also wanted to just, you know, just hang out and go, and I mean, it's rare that you get a conference that's dedicated only to adventure games. In fact, as far as I know, this is the only one. And I mean, I've been to GDC and stuff, and that's cool, but when you go for your specific niche, that's even cooler.
Yes, and going to the pub afterwards.
Yeah, going to the pub afterwards. But what I was saying was, on the Saturday evening when we were at the pub, Drew relayed the news to us all that he had seen on Twitter that Double Fine was remastering or putting out a special edition of Day of the Tentacle. So that was kind of a fun thing to go screaming around the various rooms of the pub to all the adventure game nerds and hearing their various reactions.
Yeah. Finally, being a loner who pays attention only to his phone pays off.
Yeah, exactly.
Guys, I got an update on the Twitters. The Day of the Tentacle, guys, the Day of the Tentacle.
Yeah. And then everyone pretty much had the exact same reaction.
So there you go, kids. You've heard it here. Paying attention to your phones in social situations is actually worth it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's worrying. That's a worrying thing. I don't want that to become a trend.
It really is. But anyway, Adventure X was cool. There was quite a few. It was held at the Keyworth Center at London South Bank University in Elephant and Castle, which... you can't see that.
We have
listeners,
we have
a little in-joke.
A code.
A little code on how to get to Elephant and Castle.
Okay.
So.
Why are we doing these sorts of things on an audio-only podcast?
I don't know, because I like doing stupid in-jokes on audio-only podcasts.
He likes telling everybody that he's got an in-joke instead of just letting it sit there.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, so it was in Elephant and Castle.
Anyway.
Elephant and Castle.
Yes, that was a tube stop. Well, that was the neighborhood. But anyway, so the venue was actually quite nice. It was a new venue compared to the other ones before. Drew, what were the other venues like before?
Well, the first year is the year I didn't go. They had it in a pit in a field. They dug out a little hole and then all got in the hole and talked about adventure games. And then
that's what I do every morning. It works. It's good.
Well, don't we all? Second year was at the same venue as the third year, which was the year I went before. It was a university where I believe Barian worked, and it was very bright, lots of big windows, that's about it, yeah. And this year it was multi-layered and deep and labyrinthian, and it had coffee.
That's true, it did.
I love the fact that instead of giving facts, you're just throwing adjectives, which I approve of entirely.
It had a truck. It had a coffee truck. The guy drove
like a van.
Yeah, like nice. Like a hippie van.
That's really cool.
It was like a Volkswagen hippie van that the guy drove in through the front doors and just parked
like
there.
Like a combi.
Yeah, yeah. He just parked it there, and he was serving coffee out of the trunk.
Was he like allowed to be there, or was he vagabond?
Like a special thing.
Yeah, no. He was allowed to be there.
Are you sure? Because I would totally be like, yeah, guys, I'm totally the hippie.
He had cards. I took a card. He had a card with a guy with a big bushy
Dude,
beard on the front.
Dude, you can get like big bushy beard for like free. You can get $250 for free.
I have it.
Why are you going over to get the card? You can't show him.
I'm going to read it.
It's like, it looks like this. See?
Listen,
we've got so little.
I used to volunteer.
I used to read out random cards we got from men in copy vans.
I used to volunteer at reading for the blind and dyslexic. I'm used to reading out and describing cards for people who can't see. So yeah, we've got
Besides,
a guy.
He always reads Dave's emails out to me. It's the only way I get any work done.
Yeah, exactly. What?
I wouldn't know what I was doing without him.
Yeah.
Anyway,
get any work done?
Of course not. Anyway, so it's got this guy with the beard who looks like Dostoevsky, and on the back it says "Bush," all in capital letters. Coffee, the world's finest, available to hire. Telephone number.
That was terrifying.
Email and he even has a Twitter. The Twitter is at Bush Coffee.
What is it?
At
we should tweet at him from the podcast again, so we gave him a shout out.
At capital BUSH capital COFFEE.
You don't have to.
I think he just doxed his Twitter account on our podcast.
Did I? Well, whatever. Anyway, his email is at hello@made-4.co.uk, which is an interesting email address.
That's a very cool email address.
So if any of you are in need of the service of a drive-up coffee van that will serve you very nice and relatively decently priced coffee out of the back of his trunk.
Full disclosure, Blue Cup Tools is not sponsored by Blue
Cup. You don't live in New York.
Yeah, no, that was just a legal disclaimer. Yes, I do live in New York, and I've never seen anything like that before, so there you go.
Man, it's amazing what you see when you go to London.
It really is.
Talk about adventure games, please. That's what people are here for.
Right, so anyway, so AdventureX, the whole front...
And my cute giggle, but that's life.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, yeah, there's that one's for you, Punch. And Punch's girlfriend. Anyway, so at the front of the venue, there was demonstration tables where people could set up their laptops and show off their games. And there were quite a few adventure games. Well, they were all adventure games. There was a couple of visual novels, but mm-hmm. most of them were AGS games. There was a Poison Green. Well, not all of them.
Only a couple were actually done in AGS.
Yeah, that's true. Well, a Poison Green was done in AGS.
Right.
And, nice.
Yes, it is.
I forget what else. But The Journey Down Part 2 is not done in AGS.
Nope. It's not.
They actually had a really nice professional booth. They had, like, a poster printed.
A banner.
They had a banner. They had, like, props and stuff. But they spent most of the time just, like, hanging out at the talks and stuff, so they weren't really manning their booth.
They're relaxed guys.
Yeah, but there's three of them, so... But yeah,
you should play The Journey Down, dude. I love The Journey Down. Man, yeah, really good. Number 2 really improves on the first part by a lot. It's good. Amazing.
Well, actually, I don't know when you put these up.
Tomorrow.
Well, today, Friday, Part 1 is actually available for free on the App Store for Apple users.
Wow.
How long?
I don't know.
So if you're a time traveler, get on that.
Yeah, or hopefully it'll be more than 24 hours because then whatever. But anyway, yeah, I want to give a shout-out to Sky Goblin, to Theo and Matthias and Henrik who were there, and they're, as always, they're very cool. I had spoken mm-hmm. with them very briefly at GDC, but this time around I got the opportunity to hang out with them more in depth, and they're...
And hug them.
And they are great guys, and they're a lot of fun to hang out with and talk to, and Theo was on a panel with me and others, and you, yes. But I'll talk more about that stuff in a bit. Yeah. But yeah, it was really fun to hang out with them.
Gilbert was there?
Yeah, I'm just going to go through a laundry list of people who were there.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, why not? Dave Gilbert was also there. Robert Porter was there.
Ali was there.
Oh, yes, though very briefly. I didn't really get a chance to talk to him as much as I would have liked. He really only popped in for his stuff on each day and then ran away.
Right. He did a pub quiz and the...
which I dominated at, by the way.
Oh, my goodness, did you?
And he also...
Just because you're an adventure game nerd.
I know. Well, everyone there is an adventure game nerd. I figured it would be fierce competition.
No, you were the nerd.
I was the nerd supreme, apparently. Stephen Brown from AdventureGamers.com was there. A bunch of other people were there, obviously. Mark Lovegrove.
Mark was there. He runs it.
Yeah. Josue Monchan from Pendulo Studios was there. He gave a very interesting talk, which you, I think, Ben, would have found quite interesting.
Our little shared story about Runaway 2.
Did you?
They laughed a lot.
I think I know who you told. Anyway, moving on. There was also who else was there? Lots of people. Kevin Mentz from Daedalic was there. He showed off a very interesting game called The Devil's Men, which looks interesting.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it looks pretty interesting. April Skies from the forum was there. I got to meet him. I got to meet Captain D. I didn't get to meet Sean Aitchison, which is a shame because I would have liked to have met him.
No, there's only so much time, I guess.
Alex Francois, who's also a very cool guy, who's doing the slaughter.
Yeah, we went and bought pizza together.
Yeah. It was a nice thing. I think
James
overall.
Dearden.
Oh yeah, James Dearden, who's making Techno Babylon. I got to meet him and talk with him for a bit, which was cool. It was basically a very well attended. I mean, I think we had about a total. They said about 180 people over the 2 days. So that's not a bad.
That's
turnout.
A pretty good attendance.
Yeah,
considering the nicheness of the genre.
Yeah,
and the fact that it's in London.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, it actually did feel quite busy, and I mean, all the things were well attended. The talks and the panels and things.
Let's talk about the talks.
Yeah,
specifically your talks.
Oh, my talks. Well, I only gave one.
No, well, you gave your talk, and then you gave the Shardlight demo.
That's true. Yeah.
Talk about do's and don'ts in adventure games.
I don't need to talk about them. There's a video online.
Go to youtube.com/?YZ13. Oh wait. wait, this is, I could just link it.
Just go to
isn't
YouTube.
Question mark equals? I forget.
Just go on YouTube
no,
and
I'm
look
thinking
for
about something else.
Yeah, go to YouTube and look for Adventure Expo as the channel, and you'll see my talk is up there. Or you can, I tweeted it. But yeah, I gave a talk about the do's and don'ts of adventure game riding on Sunday. But I showed off Shardlight. I demoed it on Saturday evening, and it was quite, you know, it seemed to be quite well received. People all thought it looked really nice.
There were a lot of, like, flashes of cameras when you revealed the title for the first time. Like, there was a big...
Really?
Yeah, it was like a big press thing, basically.
No, it wasn't.
No, seriously, I'm not lying.
I didn't even notice.
Did you feel like Lady
like
25 Gaga?
25 people took pictures.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
No, I didn't feel like Lady Gaga, though. I did feel like some sort of weird... pseudo rock star, nerd rock star, because everybody I talked to like seemed to either know me or had played Ben Jordan. I was like, wow, this is really bizarre.
Oh, everyone's played Ben Jordan.
That's so weird.
Except Dave Gilbert.
That's true.
And me, even though I was in.
That's true.
Oh, Drew. What are
well,
you
I
doing?
Played my part in episode 8.
Of course you did. Anyway, so yeah, I gave a talk about that. And then there were some panels. Well, Dave gave a talk on the first day about, it was called Shut Up, better writing, like less,
Less is more.
Yes, that's it. Less is, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, basically don't do long-winded dialogues. And of course he opened up with the classic joke, shut up, dialogues are too long, thank you. And then he walked away, and it was...
He dropped the mic.
It was pretty funny.
Well, not really, but...
Yeah, Dave has this philosophy, which I really like and really agree with, where... Because he was guilty of this early on, where you should encounter all the information that you could get through a long dialogue through organically through gameplay.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I believe in. You know, it's the exploration thing.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, the panels. There were... How many panels total?
There were four.
Yeah.
Although I can only remember three of them.
I can only remember two.
Oh. Well, I know that on the first day, that was the first panel that I was on with Dave and John Ingold and Kevin Mentz about branching dialogue in adventure games.
And branching story.
Or branching storylines, sorry. And we kind of came to the conclusion that there are no real adventure games with branching storylines. It's all just the illusion of choice and bendy, elastic stories. But there's no actual... storylines that branch.
Well,
except in interactive fiction, apparently, because John Ingold worked on 80 Days and a bunch of other IF stuff, and I asked him, you know, like from an assets point of view, how time consuming is it, you know, because if you're making a graphic adventure game and you have to design whole areas that you don't necessarily get to see, that becomes pretty tedious and wasteful.
Well, you have to make that in any game you're doing a branching path.
Well, yeah, but yeah.
I
mean,
so I don't
especially
think
in indie,
any different.
Yeah, but in indie adventure games, especially, you know, where you're on a budget for most of the time,
and if you've got voice acting, it's very impractical.
Exactly, but
John, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, you try and make a AAA first person shooter on a, you're gonna still have a super tight budget and super tight schedule and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, the same challenge is present for anyone. I actually think adventure games, in terms of assets and stuff, fairly easy to make. You go make an RPG and see how you go.
Then there's all the issues with testing all the branches and just a lot
shit,
of
shit. Yeah, man.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
So there was that panel.
Anyway.
Oh yeah, but John Ingold said something which I thought was really interesting that I wanted to present to you, Ben and Drew.
Because I don't remember.
Yeah, which he was talking about. He was talking about Telltale Games. And like The Walking Dead, and how they'll give you these choices, and the choices will pop up, and you really only will have like two choices, maybe three if they're feeling generous. But the choices are there and designed to make you feel bad, like, you know, save person A or save person B or save neither of them or whatever. And they just kind of put you in this unfair position because the game is deciding that you should feel this way by giving you this choice.
Mm-hmm.
And he proposed the idea of doing it so that if you make a choice, if you have to make a really difficult choice in the game, you get there through your own fault. And he compared it to playing a game of blackjack, where, you know, obviously you have to make the choice early on if you're going to continue or if you're going to stay, and you have that sort of nagging thing like, oh, well, maybe if I do this, it'll turn out better. So that by the time you get to the third part, like, you know, you've been dealt the two cards and you have 14 and you hit, and then you get another one, you have 17. You've already made the second choice, you know, and so you're at that point where you're like, okay, this is the really difficult one. Do I hit or do I stay? So you're there purely through your own fault.
I never hit on 17. Are you kidding me? I'm a pussy.
I never do either. Anything over 16 and I stay because I am a pussy too. But anyway, but that was a really interesting comparison. Just like, and I thought that would be an interesting thing to try in a game, to just see, like, you have the initial choice and then that choice branches out to more serious choices, you know, like.
I think theoretically it sounds absolutely fantastic. Practically, I'm not sure how it would be done at the moment, but I haven't really considered it much. But I think it's a fantastic point that he makes, you know.
Yeah.
I often get a bit cross at games where they just throw a choice on you, like in the middle of a mission, and it's, you know, you're not dealing with consequence of your own actions other than actions that you were forced to do by the game. You're dealing with something that they were like, yeah, you know.
Hmm.
This is you have to make a choice now. And I actually heard a podcast discussion about it once where they called it paralyzed by choice, where you'd stop playing your game because you're like, oh, I can't be bothered making this choice, you know.
Yeah,
I don't. So, and I've had that happen to me a couple of times. So, yeah, I think people like to put in choice without always thinking about consequence, like making it an organic part of consequence of your actions in the game. Instead, they just like, oh, we want to make the player immersed, so we're going to put a difficult choice on them, whether they deserve this or not.
Mm.
And I also think it's weird because for me, choice, you're making choices the entire time you're playing a game, you know? Like, so I know we talked about this when Richard was on the podcast, but like if you're playing Dishonored or something like that, you make a choice to go sneakily through the level and like take people out without killing them, or you make a choice to kill them, and the result of that is what drives the choices, like it drives the consequence. I think that's how I prefer choice to be done in a game.
Hmm. Yeah, so that's true. Yeah,
that's my take on it.
Hmm. Fair enough. Yeah, so let's see, that was that panel. Yeah, and then Josue gave his talk about how Pendulo became the rise and fall of Pendulo, and they were greedy, and they decided that Runaway 2 had to be bigger and better than anything else, and even though the puzzles didn't make sense, and subscribe to Runaway Syndrome. And I asked him on your behalf, Ben, if he was the one that had designed the polar bear rape puzzle, and he said,
that is the most hateful thing I've encountered in an adventure game. It actually, like, it's just sickening.
He said no, he didn't, that he joined Pendulo and started working on Runaway 2 after that section of the game had already been designed, so he's not to blame for that. So we'll give
good. Otherwise you could, yeah, I would give him some very honest feedback on that.
Would that very honest feedback be the same feedback that you gave the box?
Yes.
Good.
No, I wouldn't subject another human being to that because that would be illegal, but
oh, would it though?
Well, it depends on their consent, but
that's true.
I'm all about the, you know, but still I would, yeah, that's, yeah. Mm. I think the problem there is they thought they were being funny and they weren't.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the only real issue. They thought they knew that it would, they thought that they had an amazing joke on their hands, and it was actually a rather offensive piece of shit.
Yeah, so. Well, he himself called Runaway 2 the biggest piece of shit game ever, so
yeah.
Hmm.
Clearly he knows.
I mean, I know people that like it, and I've honestly said to them, I don't know how you can like any Runaway game, because I've only played the first two, and I hear that number 3 is better, but I just...
Yeah, the third one was apparently them realizing that Runaway 2 sucked and that they really needed to pull back and actually make a decent game, but I haven't played it.
Hidden Runaway.
Then they also made Hidden Runaway, which is a bit strange, but...
It's a hidden object game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really bizarre choice, but, I mean...
Oh, there's a... You I took can't a talk, because
I'm working
guy.
On Hidden Shard Light, so...
Yeah. The actual thing is you have to collect all the shards. It looks like an adventure game.
You had a hidden object game within your game. You sold out before you'd even sold the game.
That's true, you're right. But yeah, Shard Light looks like a point-and-click adventure game, but in reality, all it is just you wander around and you have to collect the shards in every screen, and that's how you win.
You've just basically lost all of our customers.
Eh, we... Whatever.
Well, we've got plenty of Germans who are now totally, really interested in it.
That's true.
True. I love hidden object games. I'll buy it.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
I do. I love Hidden. I'm not being facetious. I genuinely enjoy them.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so what else was there? There was another panel. That was another panel on the second. No, but there was another panel on the first day, which I can't remember what it was. And then,
don't ask me. I wasn't there.
Yeah, I know. If only I had kept my schedule. Yeah. You don't still have the schedule, do you?
Fuck no.
No. Well, fair enough.
Huh? Is there not one? Anyway, doesn't matter.
Well, the panels weren't listed on the schedule anyway.
They were listed panel number one, panel number two.
Yeah, they were.
Panel number four.
It wasn't listed what they were. But, I finally got to try Nando's. The infamous Nando's. Which is a chicken.
Oh my god.
It's just chicken.
Are you talking about chicken on our podcast?
Well, because after the panel we had lunch. Or did we have lunch before the panel? I don't even remember. There was
Was it that good a conference that you come back inspired about chicken?
Well, here's the thing. Everyone had been telling me, oh, Nando's is amazing. Oh, Nando's, whoa. Yeah, it's just chicken.
Really? It's just chicken, isn't it?
It really is just chicken. But it's probably better than Red Rooster or Chicken
Dude,
Tree.
Not as good as Popeyes. Listen,
you could probably find, like, cruddy old sandwiches, like, on the sidewalk that are better than Red Rooster. I promise you that. It's like,
can we go to Red Rooster before we watch The Room? Just to make it a completely shit evening.
God. We're gonna have like, I wonder if they do popcorn chicken and we can just like kill ourselves.
Oh my god, yes, that would be amazing. No, it would be terrible. Anyway,
that would be terrible.
So yeah, that day one was pretty good. It was very informative and very interesting. And then day two was just as informative as interesting. It was a bit more relaxed. But yeah, I gave my talk, and then there was another panel on which I led on nostalgia and retro tropes and why they're not necessarily a good thing. And much like our podcast, it kind of went off topic, and we started talking about all sorts of things. And Theo was on the panel, as well as Dave and Drew. And Theo got very emotional and very passionate about user interfaces, more specifically single-click user interfaces, which he believes are the way to go because he doesn't like verbs and the bloat of having too many choices in your interface, which I can understand. I'm starting to see the cracks in the facade of the two-button interface, but I'm not sure if I'm ready to move into single-click yet. What do you think, Chandler?
Well, I've made single-click interface games, and for me, it's just as good to work with as a designer. As a player, I've enjoyed like games with single-click interface. I think you challenge yourself a little bit more to break some of the boundaries of your imagination. Like, when you're in a two-click interface, I tend to design very straightforward sort of puzzles. When I'm with a one-click interface, I tend to mess around a little bit more, and my puzzles get very meta. You know, I get a little bit more creative. So I actually really enjoy working with a one-click interface, but I also really enjoy working with a two-click interface. I think both have their strengths, but because we're moving into a touchscreen-based world, I honestly think that the two-click interface is really, really short, like how much longer it's going to be a thing. Yeah. Mostly because your main mechanism for controlling the game has changed. Like, the paradigm has shifted largely towards, I mean, we're not quite there yet because we use AGS like losers, but it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a thing where most of the people that are interested in playing point and click adventure games are probably going to be mobile users and be like, yeah, I want to play this on the bus, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think as a designer, limiting yourself always as well brings forth some more creativity, you know, and just the willingness to experiment with stuff. And yeah, I still think I'd like to try a game like where your interface is a radial menu like The Sims.
I mentioned that during the panel. I didn't give you credit for it because your name had already been spoken by
others. You never give me credit for any of my ideas, but that's fine.
Sure I do. I gave you credit for the
yeah, exactly. Anyway, what were you saying?
I was saying that I brought up the radial menu thing as a suggestion, and people were like, "Eh." So
you gotta. I think you gotta use it and think, because no one's seen that in an adventure game before. But I've often thought that that'd be the way to go, because I think sometimes you're going to be looking at a chair and there's only going to be like, yeah, sit in it or look at it.
Sure.
But other times you're going to be looking at something much more complex, and you want one hotspot to be a lot richer.
Yeah, he didn't hear that because that, yeah.
Also,
he didn't need to, it's just for you, the audience.
Drew's creepily whispering into the microphone for the audience.
That's fair. Yeah, I'm sure they'll enjoy that.
I'm sure they will. Yeah, so what else?
I mean, we mentioned Heavy Rain briefly, but it didn't go anywhere. We didn't talk about how dedicated it is. Nothing.
Well, you...
There's a lot of other things in Adventure X.
You looked into the camera.
Hey, no, we went into the pub
and drank pizza and ate wine. Hush. You looked into the camera, and you did a double flip-off, and you said, and I quote, "Fuck you, David Cage," into the Adventure Trek camera.
Well, to be fair, he deserves it.
Yeah, not that he's ever going to watch
that's
it.
That's fair.
And I wasn't referencing Beyond Two Souls, because I haven't played that, and that wouldn't be fair. I was referencing Heavy Rain, and David Cage probably doesn't even remember that game. It was ages ago.
Yeah, probably not.
Anyway. I was talking with someone the other day who had just played Indigo Prophecy, and their reaction brought back some amazing memories.
Like what?
Like everything that happens in the game after the very first scene.
Oh
man.
Yeah, that game starts
so
strong.
I personally love Indigo Prophecy for the fact that he stops trying to be even remotely sensible and just goes, "Well, fuck it. You bought the game. Put up with this." I love that. That's like my most favorite thing ever. Like, he doesn't even attempt to hold any sort of like lucid like grasp over the plot. He just lets it go wherever the hell he wants. I love that. It's just bizarre. For me, it's like the uncanny valley thing, you know? The closer it gets to looking like a human thing, the more you're like, you can pick up on the flaws. So when you've got this wacky cartoon comedy like Indigo Prophecy, I adore that. I think it's very cute.
I guess if Fahrenheit had been rebranded or could be looked at as like a silly, wacky thing, then it probably would
be more...
That's
how I treated it.
Yeah, like a B-movie.
Yeah, if it was a B-movie, it would be totally better, but... It just doesn't
That's
take itself
I,
seriously.
That's how I honestly played it just like that, like laughing my head off at all the cool, like the Matrix ripoffs and stuff like that happening.
We need to do a drinking game of Fahrenheit.
No.
We need to do a drinking game of get to the airfield base
and just drink yourself to death in frustration.
Oh, God. I always had to switch back to mouse mode in that bit because I could never, with my gamepad, I could never get the climbing movement right.
It's a piece of shit.
Well, yeah. There is that.
So what else happened at Adventure X?
What else did happen at Adventure X? I don't know. We went to the pub, the Albert Arms, every evening, which was nice, and mingled and socialized and whatnot. You and I and Matt and Dave discussed businessy things on Baker Street.
Yes.
On Monday after Adventure X had concluded. You know, I did that every single time. Every single time the tube passed the Baker Street stop, I would do that.
It never got old. Not even the 15th time.
Mm-hmm. I know. Oh, man. I forgot to mention that I forgot to play it for Indie Boy, for Rob. But Matt, we stayed at Matt's house. And Robert and I stayed in Matt's brother's old room. And
they slept in a bed together. It was awesome.
Yeah, sure. So Matt's brother had this extensive CD collection. Most of the CDs were like sound effects CDs and stuff like that. I don't know if he was into sound effects or if he just likes listening to sound effects or whatever. But then he had this one gem, which was like 20 of the most romantic sax songs. And it was...
I've got that one.
Yeah. It was... No, actually, Careless Whisper was not on that.
What?
Did it have Private Dancer?
I don't remember. It had a whole bunch of songs I was not familiar with. But it did have one that I was very familiar with, and I put it on and listened to it and enjoyed quite a bit, which was Kate Bush's Wuthering Heights.
Oh.
And now, let me tell you something. Fair. You haven't lived until you've heard a saxophone cover of Kate Bush's Wuthering Heights.
Oh, so these aren't actually songs that are, like, got saxophone
are
popular. These are just doing shitty
saxophone covers of
popular songs.
Popular, yes, exactly.
That sounds horrendous.
It was horrendous, but it was amazing. You would have loved it. I should have burnt it to my... I should have ripped it to my iTunes so I could have put it at the end of this podcast.
Yeah, that sound you're hearing in the background is my stomach. I'm just really hungry.
Oh, no, the listeners are used to my heater.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they're used to the portal of hell. Yeah. That's how the hate gets into his apartment. It's from, yeah. And it's an actual portal that goes
the
to
maw
hell.
Of Hades opens up and the flames of Satan come and warm my cold bones.
Right.
Yeah, so what else? Is there anything else I'm missing from Adventure X? Because it sounds...
Nothing we want to make public.
Really? What do we want to keep
that's
private?
Fair.
Oh, you know.
Do I?
Yeah, you know.
Do I?
Yeah, you do. I hope you remember.
Oh, are you talking about the...
Yeah.
The train?
Yeah.
Oh, that no, that doesn't have to do with Adventure X.
Well, it was at Adventure X.
Well, yeah, but...
may I remind you that this is a Blue Cup Tools podcast and that we can talk about anything
so
we damn well want.
Adventure games and stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Yeah. Well, you know, some things are better left to the ether or something.
Right.
I promoted the Blue Cup Tools podcast at the end of my talk, and actually a couple of people told me they listened to the podcast, so that was nice. Shout outs to whoever it was that told me, who I can't remember right now, sorry.
You can't remember right now, as though your memory's going to improve with age.
Listen here, shh, buddy, whose name I can't remember right now, I'll have you know.
Now see here, sonny.
Now see here,
listen
you.
Listen here, young whippersnapper.
Yeah.
So are there plans to hold further Adventure X conferences in the future?
As far as I know, yes, there are.
Yes, most definitely there are. And
I think their goal is to expand more and more as
they seem to be expanding every year, according to what Dave's told me.
Pretty much,
yeah. The venue they're at now could definitely
could hold more
people, and I think it should. And I think
excellent.
That yeah, my suggestion for them was that they try and make it a single track event, because there's really not that many things that really need to be spread out at the same time. And I mean, as far as the talks and everything, so I mean, it would make sense to
shut up, you fucker.
Wait, you
thank
sir.
You.
I know, but like everybody and their mother asked me about you, Ben, and like when you were gonna come along, and I was like,
I feel so loved.
Good luck. Yeah. So there you go.
Man, I have with my long legs, I have trouble sitting in a plane for 5 hours. Like going to anywhere across the sea would be like legitimate torture.
Well, you know, you gotta either get on a plane. Well, the cross Atlantic. Cross-Pacific flights are usually... They have a lot more legroom because they know that it's going to be a long flight. I mean, the planes I flew on were pretty good. Also, I had the advantage
you
that...
You don't get to weigh in on this matter. I've seen your legs.
Oh,
baby. Yeah, so the plane I was on coming back, there was, like, no one on the plane, and I got the whole row to myself, so I got to stretch
That's
out.
That's so bizarre.
Yeah.
I love the plane that I was on. The whole row to yourself, and you can just, like...
The plane I was on had about 300 babies.
It was all babies.
Oh,
yeah. It was a baby transport.
Oh, man. I was talking to some English relatives who had just flown over, and on their flight over, the person in front of them had, like, three babies, and she was, like, changing their nappies on the seat. I was like, that is vile.
You should be just, like, thrown out of the emergency exit.
Well, no, because then the whole plane would depressurize.
It's worth it!
No, it's not.
Justice must be
but
served!
That's the foulest thing I think I've ever heard of happening on a plane.
Yeah. Ugh. Even more so than joining the Mile High Club?
No, that's the thing of beauty.
Well, dude, I think that's a beautiful act.
Yeah, a noble enterprise.
Well, have you been in airplane bathrooms?
Look, yeah, I love the flushing of the toilet, man. That's like the most... terrifying thing in the world.
It really is. Oh man, on the flight over, when I flushed the toilet, there was like toilet paper on the ground, and when the toilet flushed, the paper flew up. Like, I was like, oh my god, it's the whole suction thing to fly out the plane. But look, I don't take up much space, and even I think the airplane bathrooms are cramped, so I can only imagine bigger guys like you two. Like, how would you fit two people in there?
You know what always guys like us too.
Yeah, about airplane bathrooms is how many compartments those things have.
They really do, yeah.
What's
the deal with airplane food?
Like, people are just coming in here to shit. They're not doing any of this other stuff.
Well, hopefully they're not going in there to shit, because that's inconsiderate when they stink up the whole back of the plane.
Well, you can't... gotta go. You gotta go.
Yeah, but if you can't wait a couple of hours, you should have gone
before.
It's like
before. A 7-hour flight back from London.
Well, you should have gone before you got on the plane.
All right, Dad.
I'm just saying, I like to be courteous and considerate of my other plane passengers. And
I don't. They're fuckheads.
All right, fine.
I got babies.
Remind me not to fly on any planes with you. Yeah, I guess that's
But yeah, it always blows me away that you've got like all these little compartments that I'm like, this has never been used. No one's used that.
Yeah. But anyway, getting back on topic to Adventure X. I highly recommend if you're into adventure games and if you can make it to London, try looking into going to Adventure X 2015 because it's a really, really interesting experience and it's really cool.
And there'll be a new game to show off next year.
Oh, yeah, sure, there better be.
Yeah,
correct. What a producer.
I know. I gotta do my job.
Wagging the finger.
Yeah, you do.
I do.
Cracking the whip.
Yep. I am the crack.
Is that what you got up to that you won't tell us on the podcast?
No, you don't even know.
No.
So much whip. I think we've sufficiently covered Adventure X.
I think so, too. I think perhaps we should just wrap things up, unless you have anything else to talk about, Ben.
Me? No, I always have too much to talk about, so I'll let it sit. I'll let it slide this time.
No, we can't. We could talk about the thing we're going to tonight, but it's really...
We could just mention it.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to have already happened by the time this goes out, so any local New York people who listen to this podcast, of which there are, I think, none...
Well, Adventure X has already happened, so this is the present future.
Oh. What?
The future past.
What a confusing concept.
Days of present past Wolverine. Origins.
Oh, I see.
Two.
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, so there's a party tonight. The New York City Games Forum has rebranded itself as Playcrafting NYC. And they're having a launch party tonight at Waka Waka,
Those are the two of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. Playcrafting NYC and Waka Waka.
Well, get Waka used Waka. To it. Because it's an arcade space, and they're going to have multiplayer arcade games, including Skyhook and Particle Mace and Killer Queen and others.
Yeah, but no Smash Brothers.
No Smash Brothers. It's probably for the best.
Shit.
Well, it's an indie thing.
I mean, indie gold.
Yeah, well.
I'm actually looking forward to playing
I never got Smash Brothers. I've played Smash Brothers at, like, parties. Which is kind of sad that I've been to the sort of parties where people are like, let's play Smash Brothers.
Yeah, that's what I did for Thanksgiving.
I figured that was the only type of parties you went to.
Mm.
Sheep parties.
Now there's some stories I could tell you.
Come here, Dolly. You've been bad.
Yeah, Smash Brothers was always lost on me.
Yeah, I've never played it and I can't quite get behind the idea, but that's just me.
Everybody loves it.
Do they?
Yeah, Smash Brothers is, like, adored worldwide. Oh, but anyway, so is Mario Kart, and I've never thought that was that good.
I love those two games. I love them. I love them so much.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, but you're a nerd, Drew.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We don't usually have nerds on this podcast. I thought we slipped up this time.
I feel so shown.
Anyway, that's been our podcast. If you enjoyed listening to it and want to listen to more, you can follow us on Twitter at @BCT_podcast. And you can find us on iTunes as well. And if you want to follow us individually, I am at Brunislav Games.
I am at Ben_304. And Drew is...
What's your Twitter, Drew?
It is at DDQ5.
I see. And tell us about a little bit about the game you're working on that I'm producing.
Right. It's called Automaticity. Matt Frith is the artist. I'm doing the writing and the programming. Francisco Gonzalez is the producer and is being published by Wadjet Eye Games. And
it looks very cool.
Long story short, it is near future speculative fiction adventure game. It will be really awesome. Play it when it comes out, but we have to finish it first.
Can you tell us anything about the story?
Yes, I can.
Will you tell us anything about the story?
No, it's a secret!
Okay, fine. Well...
It's fair. It's the future. You don't want to give away spoilers.
Yeah, because it's actually based on true events that are eventually going to happen.
Oh, I see.
An angel came down and told me. Oh, and told me to write them down on this golden piece of paper.
It's nice of you to refer to me as an angel, Drew.
Right. Now, mega corporations, secrets, illegal hacking type deals. No hacking mini games. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Good. I bet you it will. When can we expect it?
2015 is when we're going to finish it, so it's probably going to be released 2016 early times with the scheduling of all that. Because no one wants a game to be released around, like, Christmas, because everyone's going to be with their families.
Well, one would hope that they would be with their families.
Yeah, unlike me.
Oh,
I'm with you.
Yeah. Well, it's not even Christmas yet.
Yeah, it's close enough.
Yeah, fair enough. All right.
Isn't it?
No, it's like 2 weeks for Christmas. But
I remember I had to ask you the date of Christmas the other day. I'm such a...
You did.
That's pretty sad. This is pretty sad.
Yeah, it is pretty sad. Anyway... Yeah. Yes, good. Alright, well, again, we'll be going on hiatus for another week or so, because I'm...
Where are you going now?
I'm going back home for Christmas as well.
Fuck me, drunk, you get around.
Well, if you insist, but...
It's been a long, long time since I was drunk, so you'll have to...
Yeah. Well, yeah, I assume you're pretty much a lightweight now. You haven't been, so anyway.
Yeah,
big body, but I've got a low tolerance, so I guess it'd kind of average out.
Oh man, seeing you drunk would be so funny. Your giant meat hands stumbling around trying to, like, open doors and things. You'd be like,
smash! I get drunk if, like,
you get drunk off
of
Coca-Cola.
I come back from a run and I have, like, endorphins and I'm drunk, so it doesn't take much.
Yeah, I know. Anyway.
I'm anybody's.
Yeah, if I'm on this podcast again, I'm going to require a whole bottle of red wine. This was just too awkward. I have to loosen up.
Fair enough.
No more red wine.
I like
wine
it when
for
you loosen up, Drew.
Yeah, good. Anyway, thanks for listening. Bye.